This is a replay of the Tuesday night, December 26th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central in the evenings. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and as I say, we have 3 hours to spend together and use it wisely. But I promised I would recap what we did last night in case you had better things to do on Christmas night than listen to me. And boy, I understand that, no doubt about it. So we had a fine time with Steve Bryant, and you can hear the show on, actually you can download it on Raleigh.net. But we made an honest count of the top 10 of your guilty pleasures. Now, as you know, this started after the world's worst hit records, when you had requested, many of you, well, how about the records that we, you know, were embarrassed to admit we really love, because some of them make the list of the world's worst hit records. I'll tell you, that's true. So I said, sure, why not? And we did. And the reason it's an honest count is because of the queen of show prep, Carol Ford, who actually tabulates these things and has spreadsheets and all that. You know, normally me, I have slips of paper, and I'm lucky if I find them. Now, I got most of your email, but not all of your email votes, I'm sure, but I forwarded as many as I could to Carol. And also your phone messages, but like I say, that's fraught with difficulty. Is it ever? And so I delete dozens simultaneously without listening to them, and it's a long story, but nonetheless. So what we had was a top 11, actually. And before that, we did have some bubbling under, a five-way tie for what would have been number 12, including Cherokee Nation, the Paul Revere and the Raiders version. Let's Get Together by Haley Mills. I agree, I would be embarrassed to admit I like that. But who is embarrassed to like Me and Mrs. Jones? But enough of you apparently were that you voted for it. Likewise, who minds Tennessee Ernie Ford, 16 Tons? I proudly like that record, but some of you were saying it's a guilty pleasure. And Michael Murphy doing Wildfire. No accounting. All right, so of the top 11, and the reason it's the top 11 is there's a six-way tie for number 6. So that takes us, of course, to 11. And that six-way tie was the Monkees, I'm a Believer, Barry Manilow, Mandy, the Rivingtons, Papa, Ooh, Mow, Mow, Simon Says, the 1910 Fruit Gum Company, Song Sung Blue, Neil Diamond, and Sugar Sugar by the Archies, all tied for number 6. There was a two-way tie for number 4, and that would be My Sharona, the Knack. There again, why be embarrassed about that? And the Carpenters, We've Only Just Begun. Didn't work for Crocker Bank. Why should it work for you? There was also a two-way tie for number 2, so that'd be 2 and 3. ABBA's Dancing Queen, alas, alas. And John Denver, Take Me Home, Country Roads. But number 111 was also a record that was on the world's worst hit records at number 8, I do believe. And that was Gordon Lightfoot, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Many of you confessed to truly loving that song. Now, I know that every disc jockey loves it because it's 6 minutes and 2 seconds long, so it's a bathroom break song, and I defy any one of them to tell me they've ever heard the middle of that song. But for those of you sitting at home listening to it, apparently enough of you liked it to vote for your guilty pleasure. So that was the list, and it was fun to do that. And we don't do that every year because, I'll be honest with you, everybody is more likely to tell you what they don't like than what they do. And that's so true with reviews in general. Yeah, people are real quick to say, I hate this, but, you know, less likely to go out of their way to tell you they love it. So thanks to many of you who voted. There were a lot of votes. I didn't tally them all to see how many individual votes, but pages of them. I'll say that. So thanks. Yeah, no, As I mentioned, I've got the Globe, which has their farewell section, 120 legends we loved and lost in 2023. But if you hadn't heard the news yet, one that is sad, everyone I know who has interacted with this guy came away liking him. If he has detractors, I don't know who they are. And that's Ian Punnett, who sadly died on the 21st. And from what I understand, which is not much, he was diagnosed with a rare liver condition about 2 months ago and sadly passed only 63 years old. Yeah. And, you know, he's a WGN alum. All over the place it talks about how weekends are coast to coast. And while that's true, it almost seemed like some of the obits made it seem like that was the ultimate part of his resume, and it was by far not. And, he was a Chicagoan, nearby anyway, suburbs, went to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, but has a Master of Divinity from Columbia Theological Seminary in Atlanta. He's an ordained deacon, was an ordained deacon in the Episcopal Church, but he also wound up with a PhD. And in fact, you know, everybody's got to write a dissertation for a PhD, and usually they're about as exciting as watching paint dry. But I think I'd like to read this one. He graduated from Arizona State in 2017, writing a dissertation, "Toward a Theory of True Crime, Forms and Functions of Nonfiction Murder Narratives." Yeah, I think that'd be absolutely interesting. Maybe it's online. And that's the deal. But sadly, as I say, while everybody's saying coast to coast, they forget he was on WGN for 3 years, from 93 to 96. And he was Ian Case, which is his first and middle name reversed. His given name was Casey and Punnett. So I don't have any more information than that. We crossed paths tangentially. It was all like after I had left Coast to Coast the first time, that's when he came in and did weekends and, you know, several other near misses. But I didn't know him. But I do know many people who did, and everyone who does did to a person. I always had positive things to say about him. So there you have it. Rest in peace, Ian Punnett. He'd been battling a number of weird health conditions over the years, including leaving radio over severe tinnitus. Yeah, the ringing in his ears was just severe enough that he walked away for a while and then returned to weekends on Coast to Coast. So rest in peace, Ian, and condolences to his wife, Marjorie, who shared the mic with him for about a dozen years in Minneapolis, St. Paul. He's written a few books, too, children's books like Dizzy the Mutt with a Propeller Butt, and things like How to Pray When You're Pissed at God. So a life well lived, but cut too short. So 888-876-5593. We will revisit others who are no longer with us. And we'll talk to Eduardo, who is back with us from Brazil. So we'll hear all about it coming up next on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the original You Can't Sit Down. Yes, before it had words, it was an instrumental of Philip Church Combo on Boyd Records, which is a little interesting since Philip Church has all these Chicago ties. But Boyd was actually an Oklahoma City label. Bobby Boyd was kind of a country artist who had this label for like 20 years, and most of it was distributed by UA, which this one was, so that that got it some good distribution and caught the attention of the people at Cameo Parkway, who gave it words and gave it to the Dovells. So, but in the meantime, that was Dave from LaSalle, who wanted to hear the instrumental version, 1961. All right, 888-876-5593. That takes us to Eduardo in Tampa, who's back. Tell me all about the trip.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wanted to thank you for responding to my email to let you know that I was safe when I got there.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot. There's lots of covered. I might even, like, break it up into two parts, you know, maybe later in the week. But it was an amazing trip getting there. I got there Sunday early and just walked around the first day. I didn't really start on a tour until like 5 p.m. their time on a rooftop tour. And on my tours, I booked through a company called Viator. They're, I definitely recommend anybody who you want to do a tour anywhere, just type in Viator and then you put in the name of the country or city you want to visit.
All right.
And they're kind of like the middleman that you can register tours with.
Okay. So tell me all about it. 5 p.m., the rooftop tour starts.
Yeah, so we start the rooftops. Yeah, we did like the three rooftops, one of them in the my neighborhood, which was Lapa in downtown. Mm-hmm. Then we went over there to Coco Cabana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and very nice. We got to taste some of the drinks and all that and sit over there, just people watch. And then Monday, we got to the top to see the Christ the Redeemer and then Sugarloaf.
Yeah.
That was a very nice experience going up there. Never got sick, you know, because when I went to Peru, I got a little bit vertical. But here, it was fine. I didn't have an issue with that.
Less altitude issues there.
What's that?
Less altitude issues there.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. So that was good. And let's see. Then we went into, Petropolis. So that's a town north of Rio. It was kind of like a retreat for the wealthy.
Uh-huh.
And they showed us through these different, like, historical homes that people lived there. There's a church there. There's a casino there on the way there.
Mm-hmm.
And we wound up in a brewery taking like different beers, non-alcoholic, but they were very, very good beers to taste.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to, Wednesday was the Bossa Nova tour.
So tell me all
and
about
so,
that. And you know,
yeah, and so that was,
you probably know that Carlos Lyra just died. Talk about Bossa Nova, and that was very sad. But he was absolutely not well known in the States, but one of the kings of Bossa Nova.
Yeah, and so I had this guy. His name was his first name. I guess he was Guillermo or something. And he walked around with a guitar. He played different songs. And there were some, like, blue-collar workers that were really, they really got into that. So that was interesting that we kind of ran into them and because they saw us doing a walking tour.
Uh-huh.
And we went to Tom Jobim's home.
Okay.
So that's where they played, like, some of the old music in the residence.
Uh-huh.
So we got to see that. There was a wall, like a mural of different artists on the wall that we got a chance to go by. So it was a very interesting tour that very surprised that I got to see the history of some of the history of Bossa Nova there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we went into following day we went to a show. It's called Ginga Tropical, and it was kind of like a mixture of karate, comedy, western. It was about a 90-minute show, and this was like inside of a shopping mall near, I think it was near Epidemia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
But it was close to the beach, and it was a very entertaining show. And one of the guys goes walking, he climbs right into the chairs of where the people are watching the show, and some of them start going around the theater dancing. They even take audience members upstage. It was a very, very entertaining show. And we went, we did go to Niederroy.
Good.
To see Oscar Niemeyer, because that was another thing I wanted to see. So we went to a couple of the museums that he built.
Yeah.
They have that kind of like futuristic look, almost like a UFO.
Sure.
UFO-ish. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there were some beaches there. There's a ferry there. Very, very nice view. You could see Rio, obviously, on the other side. But you have this bridge that you cross over.
Right.
To get to the to that city. Very, very, very interesting. I didn't have any problems as far as safety, walking there. I walked a few times in downtown when people were getting out just to see how, just to get the feel how that was.
Yeah.
People, I mean, obviously there's, the tour guide was saying, yeah, before COVID, there was more people there in downtown. Now, not so much. I did get that feeling, too.
Interesting.
I didn't feel like there were a lot of people working there.
Interesting.
Yeah. You did hear shots. That party came from the favelas, but I never felt any danger, even walking sometimes at night. Because when I went to that theater show, I got in about midnight.
Yeah.
Because I took the subway. Yeah.
Well, good.
Even the subway was pretty interesting. I didn't feel any harm or any criminal. So I thought that was, it was pretty good.
Good.
I thought it was a good experience.
Excellent. So,
yeah.
So where they were giving you the history of Bossa Nova, what did they, of course, it's an outgrowth of Samba, but what did they tell you?
Well, after just going to different houses of the people that played the Bossa Nova, and he would be playing different songs from that era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I'm surprised though that they didn't talk much about Carlos Lyra, because he was such a big early force, and he died on December 16th. So it's big news, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. But he and Antonio Carlos Jobim, probably the first two big composers of the music, Vinicius probably for the lyrics, but all that early João Gilberto, that would be Jobim, mm-hmm. and Lyra. So this was a pretty big deal. But and no one mentioned
that party played in that house, that residence that I saw.
Uh huh.
When we passed there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Good. I'm glad you went. That's fun. Where are you going next?
Yeah.
Where are you going next?
Who knows? It's too early to think about that. But
okay.
I definitely would go again. I mean, I was anticipating, going to other nearby cities, but I mean the ticket was expensive, so I just wound up seeing more Rio. Yeah,
sure.
I mean, I definitely would go back, maybe see another city in Brazil, maybe Recife or Brasilia or something like that. Maybe something like along the coast. I know they got some like sand dunes.
Itapuá is very nice. So
there
are several places. But it's a big country, as you know. It's
yeah, and you can't see it all yet.
No,
you definitely have to go
absolutely
back.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Well, great. That's wonderful.
Yeah, but they're going to institute these visas. So if you do go back, that's another thing.
They had them before. No, they had them before. They
were
suspended for several years, but they're back, and you'll get one. That would not.
They brought
be that
it back,
difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't be that difficult. Well, good. I'm delighted to hear about it, and welcome back, and good to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. If I think of anything else, I'll definitely bring it up on my next call.
Sounds good. I'll look forward to it. Thanks.
Okay, appreciate thank you very much. On to the
All
next
right.
call.
Yes,
okay.
Indeed. All right, actually, on to the news at this moment right here on WGN Radio.
Pode ser que haja uma melhor, pode ser que haja uma pior, muito bem. Mas igual a Maria que eu tenho no mundo inteirinho, igualzinha não tem. Maria ninguém, é Maria e é Maria, meu bem. Se eu não sou João de nada, Maria que é minha, é Maria ninguém. Maria ninguém, é Maria como as outras também. Só que tem que ainda é melhor do que muita Maria que há por aí. Marias tão frias, cheias de manias, Marias vazias pro nome que tem. Maria ninguém, é um dom que muito homem não tem. Haja visto quanta gente que chama Maria e Maria não vem. Maria ninguém, é Maria e é Maria, meu bem. Eu não sou João de nada, Maria.
From 1959 was João Gilberto, but it was Carlos Lyra who wrote that music and lyrics. So rest in peace, Carlos Lyra. He used to have lunches with Jobim and a few of the other big-time players, and they always used to make fun of him because he had been a member of the Communist Party. And not that any of the other guys were necessarily what you would call conservative by any means. Yeah, Bossa Nova, to an extent, was a revolution. But Lyra was just over the top, and they used to have a fine time poking fun at him, in good fun. But he certainly was a big deal, and interesting that you rarely heard a word this month about the fact he died in Rio. 90 years old, so it was a life well lived, but December 16th. So we've got Mike. He's a first-time caller in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio, Mike.
How are you, Raleigh?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm fine, thank you. I just heard you talking about Ian Punnett.
Yeah.
And his recent death. I went to high school with Ian.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's great.
Known him, obviously, for a very long time. And he was on our high school radio station.
Perfect.
WNTH up in Winnetka.
Okay.
And the frequency was 88.1 FM, and he decided to do a marathon of 88.1 hours on the radio.
Oh, wow.
Straight. And it was it was inspired by an episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Okay. Yes, I remember that episode.
Okay. And so several of us were there with him throughout much of it.
Yeah.
Some of us did, you know, like an hour at a time to kind of spell him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just bizarre to us. We're all like 17, 18 years old doing this thing. And he was loopy as could be, as you would imagine.
Sure.
At the very end. And right at the end, somebody got Bob Newhart to call in.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was. Ian was floored.
Oh,
and
I'm sure.
And Bob admitted right away, almost on the air, that he had had a couple of drinks, which was funny. But he was so gracious and so kind and funny with Ian. And Ian, like I said, was just like blown away that
sure.
This guy was calling him. And later, the student / station manager drove him over to where Bob Newhart was, so he could get an autograph from him.
That's a great story.
But and Ian was a great guy. He was the nicest person in the world. And when he did his stints in the Quad Cities,
right,
and then. Then in Nashville,
yeah, KDF.
I was a sort of regular character, quote unquote.
Oh,
they would call in a local character.
Good.
That it was kind of a running bit. You know, I was the guy from this town.
Okay.
And calling in with small town news. It was obviously all made up.
Well, of course.
And it was just a bit. He never knew what I was going to do. And it was always, good-natured stuff. But what a great guy. And yeah, when I heard that from a mutual friend of ours a few days ago, I was just stunned.
Yeah. Well, so me too. I was absolutely stunned. But as
I'm
say, you know, radio is a pretty small world. Everybody sort of knows everybody. And it's rare that you find somebody who is universally liked. And I never heard anybody say a bad word about Ian Punnett.
No. And none of his friends, none of the people I know that knew him ever had a bad word about
it. And that's terrific. That's a life well lived, but as I say, cut way short. And I guess the liver problems just came more out of the blue as far as being severe, because I think it's only been a few months. I don't know what the trajectory was on that, but it shocked a lot of people.
Yeah, and when you said that tonight, when you talked about it on the radio, I hadn't heard that part of it.
Yeah.
Every time I'd read anything about his death, it was, you know, undisclosed.
Right.
Or we don't know the details. So that was a new one on me.
Yeah, that's and that came from people who actually worked with him at WGST in Atlanta. And they said, yeah, it was a couple months ago. It was a rare, and I don't know any more about it than that. But I know he was suffering with tinnitus for years. He got off the radio for a while and all that. And boy, I can totally relate to that. But I wasn't aware that he was, battling anything really severe. And I guess he wasn't either until fairly recently.
I guess not, but. Anyway, as sorry as I am that he's gone, I'm glad you remembered him tonight for the people listening, because I'm sure there are a lot of listeners that remember him as short-lived as his career was on WGN.
Well, three years
great
is Ian
guy.
Case. You know, that's that's not a walk in the park. That's a pretty good run. You know, radio being radio, 3 years, you're almost a veteran. So yeah. And you know, KDF had its moments, was a terrific show, and XLP in the Quad Cities. You know, I think he was in Long Branch for a while too.
Long Branch.
Yeah. So and then of course a real long run in the Twin Cities on KTMY. That was like 10 years.
Right, with Marjorie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was. That was terrific. So, as I say, a life well lived. But, I always laugh that there's so many people I wouldn't mind going. But sadly, those who go usually are never on that list. You know, they say only the good die young. And he was good.
Yes, I completely agree with you. So thank you for remembering him.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you for calling. I hope you'll do it again.
Sure.
All right.
Take care, Raleigh.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. That's a tough loss. It is. And especially, sudden deaths or relatively sudden are a shock to those of us left behind. But it is such mercy for those going, because as I say repeatedly, no one has ever said, "Dear Lord, let me linger." So hopefully it was swift for Ian, and he's exactly where he should be, doing exactly what he wants to do. I believe that. And hearing from Mike about how Ian was doing this in high school is exactly my point when I say you don't get into radio, radio gets into you. And so if you're going to do it at all, you know by the time you're in high school and maybe well before it, that that's all you're going to do. And he did a great job of it in a lot of different settings. I mean, you're talking about everything from KDF with Album Rock to, the conspiracies on Art Bell. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, if you're a radio fan, obviously you know about the Sea Crane Company. Oh, you should anyway. Go to ccradio.com, but before you go, understand you're going to find something you got to have. Oh, yeah. Whether it's an accessory like that great pillow speaker or whether it's a radio. Well, every radio that you're going to see have one thing in common, and they all have better reception. Period, because that was Bob Crane's impetus for starting this company many years ago. He was just so dissatisfied, like many of us, with the reception capabilities of current radio that he said, "I can do better than this." And boy, did he. And every one of his radios literally has reception that's going to blow you out of the water. Now, I'm not necessarily comparing it to a radio from 60 years ago or something of this nature. Don't necessarily put it next to a Zenith transoceanic with tubes. But you take a CC radio, you put it next to any radio made today, and it's going to blow it out of the water. And as I say, each one of these radios has additional features. And I like the EP Pro for its simplicity. I keep this radio. I've got one in the kitchen and one in the bathroom. I just love them. And what it is, it's the simplicity of slide rule dial tuning. You know, needle and dial tuning. You just turn the knob. It's got one button for power and one button for bright light in case you're trying to tune at night. And that's it. It's not digital. It's got no clock. It's got no alarm or anything like that. It does have a tone switch and a bass and treble control to fine-tune audio, but that's really about it. But what it has that you can't see is the twin-coil ferrite antenna, which makes AM listening just a pleasure. Not only does it sound better, but I'm telling you, you pick up things that the radio sitting next to it that doesn't have a twin-coil ferrite just doesn't even know is on the dial. It's got a line-in jack, so you can connect your smartphone for audiobooks and things like that because the speaker sounds really good, voice quality like you haven't heard. And it's not expensive. You can go online anytime. Go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. Look at the CCEP Pro. Now, if you can't go online, no worries. They've got terrific customer service, and they'll help you out on the phone anytime, answer all your questions, send you a hard copy of a catalog if you want it. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. Or go online to ccradio.com. You know, I know it's still the gift-giving time of year, even though Christmas was yesterday, and satisfaction guarantee is extended through February. If you say, but I need it tomorrow, well, yeah, you can go to Amazon or something like that. But if you want the real deal in customer service like nowhere else and just people who know what they're doing and love radio, ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Please don't tease, don't make me cry, don't say the words that'll make love shine, don't say the words that'll break my heart. Don't make me cry. I'll do my best and treat you kind. If you just promise that you'll split mine. My heart's not something that you can't borrow. Have today and give tomorrow. Don't tease. Don't make me cry. Can you remember the times, the wonderful times we had just you and I? We strolled through the park and kissed in the dark. Your lips they burn like fire. Please don't tease me. It hurts me so. Don't play with love, cause it's no joke.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Spaniels, and I think that's the second Spaniels that we've played for Danny in Chicago. I think he said, I want to hear more about the Spaniels. So, yeah, we gave him Stormy Weather, and now Please Don't Tease on VJ, of course. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. As I say, if all else fails, just turn to the globe where you'll hear it all, see it all, and find out, in this case, who's no longer with us. And I guess that's true every year. I don't know. I've not been counting it, but over 120 people that you would know. From Jeff Beck on January 10th, 78 years old, sudden battle with bacterial meningitis. Adam Rich, the troubled child from Eight Is Enough, 54 at the time of his death, though, found dead of an accidental overdose January 7th. Yeah, many, many, many people. And looking at some of them who come to mind, but I must admit a few of them I'm like, well, who is that? But I certainly knew who Charlie Thomas was, 85 years old, died in January from the Drifters, lost his battle with liver cancer. And what else do we have here? Burt Bacharach. Yeah, he was 94. I did not realize he was that old, but it makes sense. And died, they say, natural causes at home. Well, at 94, death would be pretty natural, I guess, although it doesn't make it easier for those left behind. Stella Stevens, and that name may mean nothing to you, but she was in some of those Elvis Presley movies like Girls, 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 or she was in The Nutty Professor, 84 years old, and sadly had Alzheimer's. Yeah. Richard Belzer from Law and Order, February 19th, 78 years old, died at his home in France. Janson Panettiere, and he was the brother of actress Hayden Panettiere, who was just great on Nashville television show. So he was 28 and died suddenly, an enlarged heart. Yeah, something that nobody caught, didn't know it. Yeah, brain aneurysm also ended the life of Tom Sizemore, 61 years old, who died in Burbank after collapsing in Los Angeles. Gary Rossington, he was a guitarist for Lynyrd Skynyrd. I guess he was the last surviving member, and died March 5th in Milton, Georgia, 71. He had had a heart attack several years ago, so it wasn't completely unexpected, but at the same time, somewhat. The Globe's astrologer, Mystic Meg, she didn't predict her own demise. Apparently 80 years old, passed away in London, complications of the flu. And speaking of complications, we mentioned Bobby Caldwell when it happened, died in his sleep in New Jersey. And it was such a horrible, horrible story because he was floxed. And if you're completely unaware, drugs that are part of the floxing category, ciprofloxacin and others, have the possibility of creating just mega problems, particularly with tendonitis and more. And he had a very toxic reaction to those antibiotics in 2017 and never recovered. And it was downhill, sadly, from there. Lance Reddick, 60 years old, the John Wick franchise, died at home in L.A. And a number of folks, 8-time daytime Emmy winner Elizabeth Hubbard, died of cancer in Roxbury, Connecticut, As the World Turns. She was 89. Yeah, who else do we have? Tim Backman of Backman Turner Overdrive lost his battle with brain cancer, only 71 years old, on April 28th, 3 months after Robbie Backman, drummer for BTO, died on January 12th. And then just 3 weeks after canceling his 2023 tour due to ill health, Gordon Lightfoot died. And, of course, he has the distinction of being number 8 on the World's Worst Hit Records poll for 2023 by your votes, and being number 1 on your Guilty Pleasures. Yeah, at least for The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Nobody mentioned If You Could Read My Mind, which might be just as well. Jackie Zeman, I mentioned her at the time, who played Bobby Spencer. She was the second Jackie the K, Murray the K's wife, but she was only 70. And she had been playing Bobby Spencer for 45 years on General Hospital, had contracted cancer and went, sadly, very, very quickly. What else do we have? Barry Newman was 92, Vanishing Point and Petrocelli. And Billy Graham, not the evangelist, the wrestler, the world WWE Hall of Famer, 79 years old, and sepsis and multiple organ failure. Four days before his 59th birthday, Ray Stevenson, known for Thor and King Arthur and Rome, the HBO series, died May 21st in Italy while filming a movie. And same day, Lou Poulter, who was on Titanic, 94, though, succumbed to lung cancer at home in Los Angeles. Yeah. George Maharis, and I must say, that was one of those, you know, we talk sometimes, I'm sure you've heard people bring up the Mandela effect, based after how many people thought that Mandela died in prison when, in fact, he hadn't, you know, that kind of thing. Well, this is one of those things that George Maharis, I was sure he was dead. I'm not sure why I thought that, but of course, troubled life all the way around for a number of things, but died in Beverly Hills. He was 94 years old, and he was still with us. Yeah, talk about the Mandela effect. Yeah, I'm like, how did we not know this? Astrid Gilberto, we were talking about Bossa Nova earlier. And she was married to João Gilberto at the time that she did The Girl from Ipanema. And she was living in Philadelphia, died on June 5th, had lung cancer. So Pat Cooper, the stand-up comic, bada-bing, died in Las Vegas after health issues, 93. And we have more WWE Hall of Famers. The Iron Sheik in Fayetteville, Georgia, passed away, was 81. Let's see, well, who else do we have? It's a very long list. I'm ignoring a lot of these people who you might know, but I just don't. So, you know, you can pick up this week's Globe and see for yourself. But Alan Arkin, yeah, known for so many things, but hilarious on Little Miss Sunshine more recently. Died in Carlsbad, California, San Diego suburb, 89 years old. So, what else? Who else? Jane Birkin. Yeah, 60 sex symbol. You might remember her long battle with cancer. And she was known for Je T'aime, a 68 song that was banned. And then other stations just chose not to play it. But when they're banned, they get more popular, it seems. Inga Swenson. Yeah, she was on Benson. I loved Benson. I thought that was a great show. She played Gretchen the Cook, 90 years old, natural causes. I didn't know she was that old. Eagles founding member Randy Meisner, 77, died on July 27th. And I don't think we do. John came in to say, I think you got a break. I said, no, I Brett was kind enough to send me logs, and it didn't have a top-of-the-hour break. So I prattle on until 59:50, whether you want me to or not, unless Brett has other things to say. But I'm pretty sure that I just continue to to grouse about this, that, or the other until you call. 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. Breaking Bad, Mark Margolis took his final curtain in New York, 83 years old. Oh, who else? Brian Randall. And that was sad. That was Sandra Bullock's live-in boyfriend of 8 years. And he died 57 years old after a 3-year battle with ALS, which is really tough. DJ Casper, Cha-Cha Slide. Yeah, hear that at weddings these days. Kidney and liver failure, 58 years old. So, Robbie Robertson of the band, 80, prostate cancer on August 9th, right? Arlene Sorkin, Days of Our Lives, decades-long battle with multiple sclerosis finally did her in. What else? More WWE superstars who probably most of you are completely unaware, but Gary Wright, Dreamweaver, 80 years old, died in suburban Los Angeles, Palos Los Verdes, after battling Parkinson's and dementia, sadly. Terry Kirkman, founding member of the Association. Yeah, they originally were called The Men. They used to be on the Sunset Strip all the time. Got their names changed to the Association. I don't know if it was Lou Adler or whoever decided on that, but hey, they had hits. Nonetheless, 83, passed away from congestive heart failure in the East Los Angeles area, Montclair. Well, who else do we have? I'm looking, and again, I don't know. But you might. Mark Goddard, 87, known for Lost in Space, passed away from pulmonary fibrosis. Yeah. Rudolph Isley, we talked about that in October, passed away in his sleep in his home in suburban Chicago, October 11th, 84. Yeah. Piper Laurie, 91 years old, and known for things like Carrie and The Hustler, and she was also in Twin Peaks and television. But then Richard Mole, best known as Night Court's gentle giant bailiff bull, you'll remember that, died in Big Bear Lake, which is where he was living, on October 26th, 6'8", 80 years old. And that's where we'll pick it up next hour, right here on WGN Radio.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye to love. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye to love.
Goodbye to love. Goodbye to love, something is missing. Each time you're near, you make it clear that we're through.
You're cold on the telephone, you're busy each night. The lips that were once smiles, no longer invite.
try to love, I feel like crying. Someday there'll be someone for me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that was a request. Yeah, the Marcells, Goodbye to Love on Culpix. Cleveland Dennis wanted to hear that and happy to play it for him. 888-876-5593 is going to take us to Mark in Aurora. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, good evening. I spent Christmas alone, but it was good anyway, because I did most of my celebrations during the week before Christmas. One guy was going to be out of town for Christmas because he went to see his brother. So we went to a brewery, and we also had brats at his house. And then I ended up staying overnight because he didn't realized that the beer he was drinking had more than the usual alcohol in it, and so he got kind of dizzy and decided he better not drive me home.
Yeah, I would say that's a good move.
But I was calling to offer an observation on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh my.
It has no refrain or chorus. It just has a series of drawn-out verses. And another song that's kind of similar is Yes We Can by the Pointer Sisters, which was out in the fall of 73. It basically, except with a few departures, it basically dwells on a C minor chord through the entire song, and yet it was a pretty big hit. So sometimes people like repetition.
I can't imagine myself. I've never heard anybody referring to, in the same breath, Gordon Lightfoot and the Pointer Sisters, so kudos for that, I guess.
But, that's kind of a novelty, isn't it?
Well, yeah, in the very worst way. I admit, I've never heard all of the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, because again, it's a bathroom record.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was so important to use that 6 minutes that I don't know. But from what I could tell from the opening and closing, I really didn't want to investigate hearing the rest of it.
Yeah, I know there's at least one other song that's legendary as a bathroom song. I don't remember.
Oh, well, Hey Jude
is
one.
Oh, American Pie.
Well, American Pie, yes.
American
Pie. And Hey Jude. That's another one.
Yes, and I liked Hey Jude in the beginning, but I got tired of it. Yeah. Too much.
Well, they ran out of lyrics at some point, because you know I left the room while he was saying Hey Jude. I'm gone by the time, and then I come back and all they're doing is nah 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 nah. They ran out of lyrics.
Yeah, and McCartney kept doing variations on a scream.
Yeah, well, exactly. there you have it, and but I'm surprised that many people like the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
I like it,
you
and
do.
I'm not ashamed to say that I like it. But the Pointer Sisters song is interesting because it kind of copies the what the Australians call a drone in the didgeridoo. It just dwells on that C minor chord almost through the song. It occasionally departs into a C chord and an F chord, but mostly it stays on the same chord through the whole song, and I still that was their first hit. Yes, We Can.
Yeah, I don't tend to ever analyze them. I just decide if I like them or not. And
I know that.
That's enough for me. I don't need definitive. Yeah.
Oh, that's one of the aspects of your temperament that we gladly tolerate.
Well, that's very nice, and I'm delighted about it. But yeah, I could care less. You know, the last thing I want to do is have to analyze the things I like, because they're just
analyzing them often makes me like them even more.
Oh well, Alan Toussaint wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Toussaint wrote "Yes We Can."
Oh.
So
interesting.
So now I got,
what else did he write?
Oh, you got to be kidding me. You are making that up, right?
No, I'm not. I can't think. My mind is blanking out right now. I'm sure I would recognize a lot of titles if you named them.
Well, you know, when you think about Ernie Cato or Aaron Neville or, Over You is a favorite, or Lee Dorsey or, Get Out My Life, Woman by Lee Dorsey, A Certain Girl, A Fortune Teller, which is a wonderful song, Fortune Teller, and Holy Cow, and I'm trying, Lipstick Traces. Now, somebody else who really cares about this stuff would be able to give you a whole list, but I'm doing this off the top of Working in a Coal Mine. That's Alan Toussaint.
Oh, yeah, Working in a Coal Mine.
All of these things, yes. I Like It Like That, the name of the places. I Like It Like That. Yeah. You take Sally, I'll take
Sally. I think this explains why I like better If You Could Read My Mind. I mean, that's a song that's got a complex melody and tells a story. Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald tells a story, too, but I just like If You Could Read My Mind better. And that's interesting because it came out in early 1971, and I was sick with a fever when I first heard it on the radio. So I still remember that sickness when I hear the song, but I like the song.
I think it could give me a fever, I'm pretty sure. All right. So, yeah. See,
you've got a whole repertoire of sarcastic remarks.
No, I just can't stand these things. You talk about Alan Toussaint, and I'm in awe. You know.
Oh yeah.
The rest of this stuff is like help. So we'll leave it at that.
I wish everybody a happy new year coming up.
Absolutely. And, here's hoping that 2024 is better than any
of us. You should repeat the top 10 guilty pleasures.
I did that at the opening of the show. I did that tonight at the opening of the show.
Oh, no. Yeah,
you weren't listening? You weren't taking notes?
During the first hour of your show, I listened to Something Else, Garden Mission, and then I listened to Night Sounds with Bill Pierce.
So you can go to Raleigh.net and read them, though.
I can figure out how to get there on my iPhone.
iPhone is easy. Go to Safari. It's built into iPhone. It's an iOS staple. Go to Safari, and that's your Rolleye.net, and you'll be there.
I hope you'll repeat it once more before the show is out.
All right. I'll do it. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Right, so, thanks, Raleigh.
Good deal.
Bye-bye.
Because God knows I have nothing else to talk about. But Alan Toussaint was a producer for Joe Banaschak. And that was Minute Records. Oh, yeah. And later Instant, but Minute, the label. And Fury, true. I can't. But so whether it was Ernie Cato or Chris Kenner, Irma Thomas, It's Raining, the Neville Brothers, The Showman, Lee Dorsey, he produced Yaya, and all that. And Jesse Hill's Oop Oop A Doo, that was written by Jesse Hill, but produced by Toussaint, Alan Toussaint, So many, many, many things. All right, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Bill is in Boston. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How's it going?
I just wanted to check. There was a group. They were a doo-wop group out of New York, and we had a DJ up here that used to play their records. And one became kind of a hit called Blanche.
Oh, but, yeah.
But they were very good. They had other songs that were very good. And
the Three Friends.
They only lasted a short time. I Googled them just to see, because I was thinking it was like the number, the Three Friends.
Right.
But it's actually spelled out the Three Friends.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Yes. On the Lido label.
Okay.
So you're right. You remember it, and the flip side was "Baby, I'll Cry," and
that was a very good side. I really like that one. I know.
So
it was upbeat.
But
they had another one, "Jinx."
Yeah, they had a few things actually, and
but they didn't last long.
No.
I don't know whether they just broke up or didn't get much exposure or whatever, but
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. They wrote Blanche, too, and that was actually...
Oh, they did?
Yeah, that was actually a high school friend. And, yeah, they... there is another group, the Three Friends, with a number three that is in no way related to these three friends. But they were from Brooklyn, and it was Tony and Frank and Joe. And I think two of them were Italian, and one of them was, like, Polish, because I think it was... Grochowski or something was Tony Grochowski and Frank Stapoli and Joe Vila. And yeah, they had Blanche and Jinx was the flip side, the B side of I'm Only a Boy. That was on Lido also. They also put it out again as a flip side on Brunswick. And then Now That You've Gone and, you know, stuff like that. Not a lot.
So, now was Lido, was that much of a label?
Oh, no, of course not. No, none of these are labels that anyone would want to know anything about. it was a little New York label, and it was at 1650 Broadway, so like all of them. But it was distributed by United Telefilm, so basically United Artists. So they had distribution. And not many acts on Lido, but the Three Friends and Dante's Infernos. I'm trying to think who else. Frankie Sardo. You don't want to know. But they did have some Faye Adams. She did a couple things. I don't think any of her hits, but she did a couple things on the label. They probably did like 20 records from I don't know 56 to 59. Thereabouts.
Yeah, I think Blanche, was that the only one that would have charted at all?
Yeah, if you want to say that. Now, for people who don't remember Blanche, we can have a little of Blanche.
Story of a boy and a girl, how they both lived together in their own private world. The boy's name was Billy, the girl's name was Blanche.
Once it happened, one day they took a chance.
What's interesting about this record, you probably can hear it, is there was no baritone and there was no bass. So they were not exactly your big duo. They were inspired by Teddy Randazzo, because Teddy Randazzo had a group, The Three Chuckles. You don't want to hear that either, trust me. And it was like their moment in the sun, and that was it. I think Lido was... Leo Rogers, I think, was the guy. And but anyway, like I say, I don't think there's more than 20 records on that. And it was interesting because Joe Kolsky at Rama, George, who worked with, you know, George Goldner, they wanted to pick that up. But then for whatever reason, they didn't. But I know they were involved with it. And they might have done some European distribution on that, if you're ready for that. But so I'll have to look up to see where these guys went, because I don't know. They were the mainstay of Jaco Henderson shows. So they'd appear at the Apollo or the Paramount, you know, Alan Freed stuff.
So they had some exposure in New York, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And some of their records is the number three. If you look at these Lido records, one of them actually is the number three, rather than spelling it out. So they were they were not consistent. So but that was real typical of you know, local doo-wop groups that were, you know, local in every sense of the word, really.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. So I'll look up Frank Stapoli. I think he might be the one I might be more likely to find. But I'll check all three of them. If I find out what they're doing, I'll let you know.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I think that they were the Heartbeats, or at least some of them were in the Heartbeats. They might have been the Heartbeats first. Not the Heartbeats, you know. Trust me. It was on Jubilee. They had like one record. I think it was Boil and Bubble or something. I don't know. But in any event, the Three Friends. oh, man. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. We'll talk to Fran and Austin and you two coming up on WGN Radio. Here it is. I found one of the three friends. This is Frankie Storo. Yes, Tripoli.
Sure, there'll be a moon above, but if it doesn't shine, my love, then I'll still be mine. Darling, how can I be sure? Sure, my love.
So that's what Frank Stripoli did after the Three Friends as Frankie Storo. And he grew up in Brooklyn, as I mentioned, and after the Three Friends, he stayed in the music business doing some solos, half a dozen records that you can find probably on YouTube, I don't know, maybe not, but 59 to 62, and on labels like the Up label, I'm not making that up. And after 62, I don't know, so I'll have to find out what happened to him, and I'll try. But at least we got one of the three. Now, one down, two to go, so that's Frankie Storo. And there's many more from which to choose. I know you're excited about that. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Fran is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, we survived another Christmas.
That's right. Absolutely. That's right. And we're in the home stretch now, just this rotten week between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, it's just a good thing I checked the oven or I would have had a burned ham. But
oh, no. Oh, no.
We have one of these ovens that, of course, you know, like so many things now, it's a flat panel.
Okay.
And it does go back, like if you turn it off and turn it back on, it reverts to 350. And you just have, so I have little dots on it.
Uh-huh.
And usually if I have to go up to 400 or something, I just count the, you know, I can count. It goes up by fives. You know, no
yeah.
big deal.
Right.
So yesterday I had to heat the ham at 325, and it just didn't seem right. I went back, you know, to the back arrow, and it just didn't seem to be doing it right. Fortunately, we have the Be My Eyes app, and we looked at it, and it's still at 350. So I don't know whether this oven is made so it doesn't go down below 350 or what. But anyway, other than that,
well,
so I just took some off of the ham, and it was already cooked. All I really had to do was heat it up.
I think that's true for all hams. I don't think you get raw hams anywhere. I've kind of discovered
I don't know.
I don't know what's involved.
About it.
Right, I don't either. But it must be something really arcane involved in the smoking of a ham, because they're always, quote-unquote, fully cooked. That doesn't mean you don't
right.
have to warm them or maybe even defrost them, but they're fully cooked. So where would
yeah.
you get the raw ham? I don't know.
I don't know. So, anyway, enough about ham. you're talking about, Mark was talking about, you know, some repetitive music and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, but the one thing is, at least, you know, that has a rhythm to it. The Pointer Sisters, I mean, I'd much rather listen to the Pointer Sisters any day. Even if they do something like that, you know, it's kind of repetitive.
Yeah, absolutely. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Because
okay.
like it or not, we're going to listen to the news, and then maybe we'll play some Pointer
okay.
Sisters
well,
coming
that's
up.
Repetitive too. Yeah.
WGN Radio.
Yes, we can. I know we can.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Pointer Sisters. Yes, we can. As I mentioned, Alan Toussaint did write that. It was on Blue Thumb. All right, so we're talking with Fran, and I have solved some of the world's mysteries in the meantime. Now, firstly, I found another of the friends, the three friends, that is. And this is, we're now talking about Joey Villa. Well, he actually was Joe Francavilla. All right. He was also the lead vocalist of the Royal Teens. And like I mentioned, of course, had been in the Three Friends, not the Royal Teens when they had quasi hits. All right. So anyway, he, however, as Joe Villa, is still fronting the Three Friends, at least as of 2019, in oldies concerts. So he's still with us. How about that? So now we know about that. All right. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, because I also discovered the history of ham. Not the whole history, of course, but all we need to know. So here's the deal. There's no such thing as raw ham, Fran. A raw, unsmoked, uncured, unsalted ham is just pork meat. It's not ham. When you cook it, you get pork, not ham. It doesn't taste or smell like ham. It tastes and smells like cooked pork. Recipes that call for ham assume the flavor profile of a ham, saltiness, but also smokiness, sweetness, etc. So if you use fresh pork meat in a ham recipe, it won't taste the same. You can go ahead and put brown sugar and pineapple on it, but it's going to taste like pork with brown sugar and pineapple. The ham is cured. Now we know.
Now we know. Well, I kind of thought that, but...
I had no idea. Had absolutely no idea.
I don't know. I just buy it at the store and, you know, follow the instructions and hope I don't burn the house down.
Works for me.
but I was just thinking, you're playing that Blanche song, and I'm thinking, that's the second time in my life I've heard the name Blanche in a song. Some names just don't lend themselves to songs. The only thing I can remember hearing Blanche in was Chaos Radio. Because at one point they're going, oh, Blanche,
yeah, right.
Blanche,
oh, yeah, right. exactly, yes. Yes.
So, it's funny. There's just some songs that do not. I have never heard a song with Fran in it. One of these, the closest I've gotten is Francine.
Really?
Yeah, there's no songs with Fran in them. I'm crushed.
All right.
Some songwriter out there, if you're listening, write me a song with Fran in it so I won't be crushed.
Well, I just went to YouTube. They have Fickle Fran by Jamie Webster. They've got the Fran song. I can't imagine. So,
oh my God! Maybe I would have been better off not knowing these.
I think so. They've got Fran song and lyrics by the Lazores, whoever they are. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I will. And then they have "Color of Weight" for Nick Evanette, which is also "quote unquote" song for Fran.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel better. I mean, I haven't heard the song, so maybe I would feel worse.
I'm sure you'll feel worse. Don't listen to these. Trust me, you'll feel worse.
Oh, well. Some names just, Trudy, I guess, would work, but Gertrude, I don't know.
Here's the deal. They're not going to have Raleigh, so, I can't really contribute to the discussion.
Yeah, speaking of that, I have information for Mark. Mark, you can, Siri can help you get to the Raleigh stream.
Oh.
I mean, to the Raleigh site.
Okay.
Stream site, whatever. So you just tell her...
I'm sorry. I didn't quite catch that.
Yeah. I am not talking to you.
Right. You mentioned the word Siri, so she's in it now. Yes, exactly.
I was trying so hard not to mention it. I said her.
Yeah,
but
right.
Anyway, I must have said her name at some point. But she who will not be named...
Right.
You tell her to go... to Rolleye.net. If you just say Rolleye.net, it's going to take you who knows where.
No, yeah, you don't want to do
but
that.
But you got to spell it out, and it'll take you right to Rolleye.net, and the site is very easy to navigate. A lot of interesting stuff up there to look at, and you can even go back if you want to hear, go back and hear yourself, back and hear yourself.
Yes.
If you don't hear yourself on the stream. So, that way, if if you don't know what the top 10 was or something like that, or you missed something, you can always go back and check that. But it's real easy.
Good.
Siri is your friend when it comes to that.
Well, excellent.
Okay. I found this on the web for Who Is Your Friend.
Yeah, boy.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
She said, I found this on the net for Who Is Your Friend. Yeah, I should have looked to see who she thought my friends were.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I found this on the net. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Now, well, you're braver than I. I do not want anything that's going to be listening to me.
I know. I think about that sometimes, and I think, what have I done?
Exactly.
But, oh, and one more thing. I have a request, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure.
Kitty-O.
Oh, Brooke Benton.
I love Brooke Benton. If you can play either that or anything else you like by Brooke Benton.
Okay, I like a ton of things by Brooke Benton, but Kitty-O is fine. I'm looking for it here. All right. This should do it. Yeah, I will play that for you.
Wonderful. All right.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So 888-877-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And, oh, let's see. Oh, Mary Ann had her eye surgery. All right. So, Mary Ann, we wished you well and did some praying. How did it turn out?
Well, I don't know. I got an eye patch on.
Okay.
Got to keep my head down as much as I can for 3 weeks.
Right. And not any sudden movements.
Well, not that I could do any sudden movements now at my age.
Yeah, you could fall out of bed.
Yeah, I haven't done that in 3 years, so hopefully that continues.
Good.
Do you remember when I was first calling you and I dropped my phone and it flew across the deck outside and you were like, are you okay? Did you fall down?
Yeah, well, yeah, there goes the phone. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was just the phone that time.
Yeah.
But,
So obviously you can't see. When are they taking the patch off?
Tomorrow.
All right. So what'd they say about how it went?
Well, you know, they always say it went great.
Well,
but they're not on this end.
By the way, not always.
Well, sometimes they're lying, but
yeah.
Got some discomfort right now, and I guess I can ask them tomorrow when I go what I could take for the pain.
What hurts specifically?
It's just an eye ache.
All right.
I mean, I had laser and something else. I don't know what else it was.
Right.
They reattached the retina, put a buckle on it, and then closed my macular hole.
Okay, good. So they put a buckle. That's what's causing you the pain. All right.
Yeah.
No, because I was going to say the retina isn't causing you the pain. All right. Well, it sounds like they know what they were doing, and I'm glad they could do it, because, of course, you waited a while.
Yeah, you know, for somebody that they considered such a big emergency.
Yeah.
And made me wait 2 months for this.
No, that's, that's...
I'm like, if they had approached this when I first called them in November, I'd have been fine for Christmas.
Right.
But no, I got jerked around, and I drove myself to the hospital this morning at the butt crack of dawn, and... I mean, I don't like driving in the dark as it is, but driving with one eye in the dark.
Who drove you home?
My girlfriend and her husband.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say.
Yeah, because they won't let you out.
No, I know. I'm out.
Coming to get you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I heard some of the show last night, and I heard that man that called up and talked about that movie, The Littlest Hobo.
Okay.
With the dog?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That brought back such memories. That was from Family Classics with Frasier Thomas.
Uh-huh.
And I remember as a kid watching that, and I don't know if he's listening, but there was also another movie out, Family Classic, called Snowfire.
Uh-huh.
About a horse, a white horse. So I forgot what his name is, but if you're listening, I hope you saw Snowfire because it was good.
All right.
Well,
you're sounding really good. So they obviously didn't kill you, and hopefully
not yet. But right, you know,
hopefully tomorrow when you get the patch off, I want you to call and let us know how you're seeing.
Do you have a full show tomorrow?
No, actually, I believe half a show. I believe that I start at 11:30 Central.
Okay, if I could stay awake.
Then there's always Thursday where it will be a full show.
Oh, okay. I wish I would have called the other day to wish Scotty Merry Christmas.
Oh, that's all right.
But
he knows we're
Scotty Merry Christmas, yeah. A little late.
He knows we're thinking about him.
And every time I feed my dog, I think of Johnny B.
Well, he's up next. So tell me why you, because he'll ask, why is it you think of Johnny D when you feed your dog?
Because my dog eats Caesar dog food.
Oh, God.
And wasn't that his dog's name?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
So it always reminds me of his little buddy there. All I mean,
right.
When I saw those pictures, the bulldog was so cute.
Yes. Well, all right. We'll talk with Johnny D about that coming up in moments.
Okay, you guys have a good night.
All right. Take care of yourself. Don't fall over.
Oh, please, come on.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Yeah, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. Speaking of Johnny D, it is the lovely and talented Johnny D. All right, Johnny D, how's it going?
Well, it's going okay. How are you, Raleigh? How you feeling?
I can't complain. I got to go do a bunch of blood work in a couple weeks, so they'll tell me how I'm feeling.
Okay. Well, I don't know about lovely, talented,
yeah.
Maybe.
Well,
but
how about if we use
say handsome and talented?
Debonair.
I go with that.
Yes, that's the debonair Johnny D. All right, it's been decided.
Well, you know my last name. They used to call me Day Late and a Dollar Short.
Yeah.
My last name.
Well, no.
That's what my friends used to call. Hey, it's Day Late and a Dollar Short. And
some friends, yeah. Well, now you're the debonair Johnny D.
Yeah, I like that. Anyhow, listen, so listening to Marianne reminds me I got a card from my the guy that checks your eyes, optometrist.
Yes.
And I got to make, you know, it's been a year or something. You know, they want you to go every year.
They'll just
check up.
You'll be fine. They'll just check your vision.
Yeah, I went up a couple of clicks, whatever that means. Last time I was in there, they had to make me new glasses.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. As long as your pressures are still good.
Well, I remember them taking my pressure. They put this thing, you know, and they're like this. Yeah. Anyhow, real close to your eye or on it or something.
Absolutely. And there's a few ways they do that. And yeah, ask them. But your pressure is in both eyes.
Well, I remember when she did it the last time. She said 20 or 17 or something.
Well, 20's getting up there. I'm not like.
I just remembered.
Yeah,
I just remembered my grandsons are sleeping over.
Oh, you got to be quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I just heard Becky.
Oh, yeah, ready to just go on the rampage because you're waking up the grandkids.
Sometimes I talk too loud.
This won't be pretty. I can tell already.
See, they're going tomorrow. They're going to her sister's.
Uh-huh. Where's her sister? Where's her sister live?
Back in Youngstown.
Okay.
Back Camel, Ohio is.
Okay.
Camel.
Very good.
Yes. Anyhow, they go down there because it's like a mini vacation for my grandsons. They like to go to Aunt Reggie's, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she, Santa, left them some presents over her house, so they have to go there and get the presents that Santa left at Aunt Reggie's, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so, anyhow, back. I don't know. Maybe it was one of them getting up to go.
Well, that could have been. Yes, exactly. Leave well enough alone.
Anyhow,
yes.
So wait a minute. All right, and then Fran.
Yes.
What's she talking about? Her name was never. And you too. What do you mean your name was never in a song?
Well, that's right.
I made lots of songs with Fran and Raleigh in it.
And yes, you did. And we're grateful for every one of them. But other than being played on WGN radio, they didn't chart.
Well, they should have.
Well, yes.
But, okay, now, actually, I keep hearing creaking noises out there. Back.
This could be interesting.
Anyhow, so, so then what prompted me to call, I was thinking about it, there goes the toilet flushing, wait a minute.
Well, that's a normal habit. That doesn't sound
here.
Like an intruder.
Get in here real quick.
What?
Get in here real quick. Guess what? Your song got picked for one of the top 10 of the Guilty Pleasures.
Oh.
Yeah. You want to tell Wally about your Christmas suit going bad, your wedding suit?
No.
Yeah, I don't blame
her. Her wedding suit, bro. She makes wedding suits. She got the recipe off my mother.
I don't make Christmas.
She said, what did you say?
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you, too.
Okay. All right. Go with the kids,
huh?
Yeah. They're what Christmas is all about anyway.
Will you shut the door? Do not.
Okay.
Right. Anyhow, listen. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, was that what I was talking about?
I don't know, but you can be. So what about the Wreck of the EF?
Well, you see, I was thinking about the first time I heard that song. I think Mark mentioned, does he have a degree in music or something, Mark?
No.
He knows, sounds like he does, talking about
I think he's just overly interested.
Okay. Anyhow, so the first time I heard that song, I think he said it came out in 71 or 72?
No, it was 76.
No, it was earlier than that.
No, it was really 76. I remember.
Well, here's the deal. First time I heard that song, we were coming back from a fishing trip to, did you ever hear of a place called Angeliers, Canada?
Yeah.
It's a lake, I think.
You're right.
And I would think it means anglers.
Right.
But they call it, huh?
Right. So.
Yeah, me and my the golfer, my older brother Joe,
uh-huh.
My dad,
uh-huh.
My younger brother, and me.
Right.
Coming back from a fishing trip to Angeliers. See, the golfer used to do something with some guy that he worked with in insurance. They had an insurance agency or something. I don't know. But this guy used to like to go to this Angeliers. It was like 13 hours. we had to drive 13.
It's in Quebec. This is far.
Well, we had to drive 13 or 14 hours.
I guess you absolutely had to drive that far. It's in northwestern Quebec. It's far away.
Well, I remember driving.
That's right. And you didn't see anything along the way either, for the most part.
It was mostly at night, I remember.
Yeah. Well, that's just as well. Yes. No. This is truly middle of nowhere time. And
it was great. You know how many walleyes we caught?
Yeah. Well, the Ottawa River. And then there's a lake that I couldn't pronounce to save my soul in French.
It
was the Ottawa.
It wasn't Lake Angeliers or something?
Well, it Angeliers is the second half of it. It's like a Laver-Loch-Chiari or something. I don't know. Or Loch des... Yeah, I don't know.
Huh?
Some French...
Well, anyhow, we went there a number of times when I was younger.
Yeah.
And then on the way home, my younger brother and I... We heard that Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald for the first time, and we really liked it, you know. So that came to mind, you know.
Wow. Definitely was 1976. I know because I was working at a radio station. I had condemned by the Board of Health.
What?
I had a radio station condemned by the Board of Health, and it was 19. It wasn't hard to do. It was 1976.
A radio station condemned by the Board of Health.
Yes. Now, I also had help in there because one of the young guys in high school who was working there, his father was a doctor on the Board of Health, and he complained too. So I have a feeling that his complaints probably went further than mine, but I absolutely did complain to the Board of Health, and they condemned the radio station.
Which station was that?
This was the big X, WXVW.
And, okay.
It's Louisville, okay. Jeffersonville, Indiana, technically, but Louisville. And, you know, I mean, the last straw for me was this had been like an old abandoned farmhouse that someone turned into a radio station, God knows when. And when you walked in the front door, it was part of what had been the old kitchen. And it had this dripping, rusty water that never stopped. And so in the summer when mosquitoes hatched, I said, that's it. And I called. Now, I should have known that I was in trouble when they explained when I went to the bathroom that depending on what I was going to do in the bathroom, I had to bring one or two buckets of water because there was absolutely no other way to flush. There was no running water. So, you know, that should have been a clue. But no, it wasn't until the mosquitoes that I finally said, that's it. And
well, mosquitoes, they would stagnant water.
Well, you're right. I don't know what it could have done. It didn't do anything to me, but I didn't think it was good. So they wound up moving across the railroad tracks to some new building after I was gone. And I believe they burned the old one down. So, and rightfully so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yes.
The only way to get rid of it.
Well, Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald was, well, actually, it had this weird history, too, because at one point, one of the program directors, I don't think I do. John says, I do have a bottom of the hour break here, so I'm going to take it. Hang on, and I'll tell you about the weirdness coming up on WGN Radio.
I told you, baby, how I feel. One word can close this deal. Baby, be my queen of hearts. Please give me that love you've got. Won't you say yes? Don't you say no? Make me feel good, kiddo. Maybe I'm just wasting time. Can't get you off my mind. You could make me feel so good. I know you could if you only would. Won't you say yes? Don't you say no? Make me feel good, kiddo. I wrote you a 6-page letter. I called you on the phone. But you started talking about the weather. Kitty, oh, don't you know that's wrong? I can't stand this playing around.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. Brooke Benton, 1960 on Mercury, and that's for Fran. And we're talking with Johnny D here in Ohio about the Big X, WXVW, which, by the way, in addition to being toxic, was also haunted. And it was interesting.
Oh.
I had always heard the stories. Apparently, the guy who was program director had a brother who had worked at the radio station previously, and he was killed by a train, and the train tracks were kind of behind the station. And so I'd heard these stories about people who worked overnight and that suddenly doors would slam when no one else was in the building and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, oh, there's nothing to this. Until that fateful day, for some reason they made me production director, whether I wanted to be or not, I guess because I had been many times prior. In any event, I was in what stood for the production room, which was little more than a closet with a reel-to-reel tape recorder. And I had done some voiceover, and I played back the tape, and there was a guy's voice groaning on it. Couldn't make out words, but unmistakable groaning. And I played it back 3 or 4 times. There was no way that could have been on the tape while I was recording it. So to this day, I don't know who else was in the building, but it gave a certain amount of credence to those who claimed they were hearing doors slam and other presences. So I don't know. They burned it down anyway, I'm pretty sure, after the mosquitoes.
Who's the one that could see the ghost? Marianne Koski, Mary.
Well, at the time, I didn't know Marianne, because this is almost 50 years ago. And so, yes, otherwise, you betcha I would have put in a call, but I didn't know anybody who could have intuited who this might have been. But like I say, I was much more concerned about the rusty water and the mosquitoes.
Well, Raleigh, I guess you...
Yeah,
I guess, I don't know, it follows you around, that kind of stuff.
Well, that's radio, you know, and we were willing to do anything. And, of course, because I had a first-class license, they made me the assistant chief engineer. I had no business being it, but I was willing to take the field strength readings. So that was, you know, in winter, I trudged through the snow and took the readings and no big deal. But it was getting to be springtime, and the management put out a memo to all of us in the event of tornadoes. And what I found very interesting in this memo was it said, in the event of tornadoes, leave the building. And I thought, I don't think that's the best advice I could be given. And so I asked about that, and they said, no, the tower will probably fall on the building. You'll be better off taking your chances outside.
Tower will fall on.
Yeah, right. Fortunately, it was a single tower. It was non-directional, but it had guy wires that seemed pretty sturdy to me. But what do I know? I'm not tensioning them. I don't know. But so I thought the advice of leave the building probably told me all I needed to know.
Wow. All right, now let me say this. I went to that Steve Ryan, and I have to say honestly, Raleigh, I couldn't picture Steve Bryant in my mind's eye because I don't believe I've ever watched Home Shop. What is it? Home Shopping Network?
QVC, actually.
QVC. You know, the lovely and talented Becky may have had it on years ago.
Right.
And I walked by and maybe looked and then paid attention for maybe about 30 seconds and, so I couldn't picture him, but I went to the sound page.
SoundClick.
Yeah, I went to that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
SoundClick. Yeah. And I listened to a couple of few songs on there, and I really, he's got some good ones. And then, I guess they had a picture of him on when I clicked on that link, So anyhow, so then I kind of got an idea who he was. But so I'm listening to the country songs that he made. Like, he does a lot of country songs, it seemed like, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it reminded me of, and I want to make a song request, because I was listening to some country songs the other day before Christmas and stuff. And I really like Baby's Got Her Blue Jeans On. Do you know that song?
Yes.
Well, I want to request that if you could play it.
Okay, I can do that.
All right, great, because I like that song. That's one of my favorite country songs. And, okay, so that's all, Raleigh. I just thought I'd add to the show about nothing and add some nonsensical things.
You will hear Mel McDaniel next, I promise.
Very good. Thank you for that, Raleigh.
And
you have a good night.
All right,
bye-bye.
You too. Thanks. Yes, absolutely. Mel McDaniel, who gave us Louisiana Saturday Night. All right, so we have Gino, and Gino is in Milwaukee. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Ralph.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Can't complain.
I really enjoyed your show of Monday night, December 18th, when the theme was original versions of songs that went on to be covered by the Beatles.
Oh, okay.
I really liked all those Beatles covers.
Uh-huh.
And I also enjoyed hearing the originals. They were all great.
Yeah.
I read an article many years ago that might shed some light on something that you wondered about.
Uh-huh.
And what you wondered about was how in the world did the Beatles ever hear these obscure R&B songs in the first place?
Right. I knew how they'd hear the hits, like Little Eva or even Arthur Alexander. I don't know how they heard the Donnays, Devil in His Heart.
That's why I'm calling.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, first of all, another caller suggested that they got them from sailors who came from America, and that is irrelevant. That's not how they heard them.
Okay.
But all 10 of those songs that you played were at one time received in the mail from America by a fellow by the name of Brian Epstein.
Okay.
And Brian Epstein, he ran a record store, among other things. And so he knew the ins and outs of the record business. And then his group, the Beatles, were putting out albums, and they needed material.
Uh-huh.
And, they wrote their own songs, but they still needed more stuff. So Brian Epstein contacted people in America who sold that genre of records.
Right.
And he said, just send me everything you got. So I think it's safe to assume that all 10 of those songs that you played, the originals, were received in the mail by Brian Epstein, who then passed them along to John, Paul, George, and Ringo and said, hey, guys, listen to these and pick out the ones that you want to record.
You know, that's interesting. It's very possible because in fact, the record store, I think, is still there. It's NEMS, North End Music Stores. And I think when he was running it, it was his family had like a furniture store, and it was sort of like a rack in the furniture store, you know, rack jobbing type thing that he was running. And when he opened one of the furniture store branches, that's when I guess Epstein, and he had a brother too, were placed in charge of the music. So that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. It's when I read that story, it just stuck in my mind, even though it must have been
that
30 years ago.
That makes sense. So, he and his brother both worked in this, this store. Now, I think Epstein was like drafted and he was kicked out of the service and supposedly for being emotionally and mentally unfit. I don't know. What the deal was, because, you know, as you know, he was gay, and I don't know if back then if they looked at that and said that's unfit. Whatever it is, he wound up coming back, and his parents gave him that job as NEMS, as head of NEMS. And so, they were selling everything, furniture and pianos and radios. But under Epstein, the records probably outsold everything else.
Uh-huh.
So that's interesting. I never put that together, but it makes all the sense in the world.
Okay, there you go.
Well, thank you. I never would have thought about that, and I should have put it together, and it took you to tell me, so thank you.
You're quite welcome. And another thing?
Yeah.
I think the other night you said something that I never heard you say before.
Uh-oh.
You said you actually did like some early Beatles songs.
Oh, I do. I absolutely do. Yes. When they started, you know, getting full of themselves in the albums and all that. But, I mean, things like You Can't Do That, I thought those are great little records. I just didn't like anything that, you know, basically 65 and beyond.
Yeah, okay.
But some of the early stuff I thought was terrific, especially if it had a backbeat. Now, there is an exception to that. There's one song on Rubber Soul, The Word, because it has a backbeat. I like that.
Okay.
But for the most part, you know, when Sgt. Pepper's came out, I thought that was just the worst thing I'd ever heard. Little did I know that it was going to go downhill from there with all these other acts. But nonetheless, I just hated it. And I didn't care about Magical Mystery Tour and Help and all that crap either. But the early stuff, I thought they did some great things. And of course, you know, they wrote little songs for Billy J. Kramer. I liked those. And then they originally did How Do You Do It. I've got their version. But they, I guess it was Jerry and the Pacemakers who had the hit with it. So, you know, that kind of stuff. I liked that.
You know, even their covers of the R&B stuff, I liked, because the Beatles were playing under a handicap when they covered R&B and soul stuff. The Beatles didn't have a piano. They didn't have an orchestra and chorus with horns and strings, you know. It was just three guys playing their guitars and singing. And they actually sounded pretty good. Considering that.
There you go. But, you know, as you're saying this, there's so many of those Liverpool groups that, by the way, never made it here, like the Liverpool Five and people like that. And they did a lot of those covers, too. And I'll bet you they got it at NEMS. It makes all the sense in the world.
Sure.
All right.
Okay,
thanks.
Well.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Yeah.
Nice talking with you.
Likewise. Yeah, that's terrific. I never, ever put that together. But yeah, NEMS, I'm sure it's, I don't think the furniture stores are there to this day, but I think that those record stores, I'd have to look it up, are still around. So yeah, makes sense. Glad that Gino told us. So we got Jimmy P. on the south side who's got some requests, and James, of course, on the south side who's got 9,832 stories and room for you, too. I do hope you'll call it 888-876-5593, and Mel McDaniels is coming up next on WGN Radio.
Down on the corner by the traffic light, everybody's looking as she goes by.
watch her till she's gone. Lord have mercy, baby's got her blue jeans on. Up by the bus stop and across the street, open up their windows to take a peek while she goes walking, rocking like a rolling stone. Heaven help us, baby's got her blue jeans on. She can't help it if she's made that way. She's not to blame if they look her way. She ain't really trying to cause a scene. It just comes naturally. Now the girl can't help it. Well, up on Main Street by the taxi stand, there's a crowd of people and a traffic jam. She don't look back, she ain't doing nothing wrong.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. Well, there he is, the late Mel McDaniel. Lord have mercy, and that was number one for him. I think it's the only number one he had on the country charts. And Baby's Got Her Blue Jeans on Capitol in 84. I think my favorite, Stand Up. Might have to hear that next. I don't know. But yeah, I hadn't thought about him in a while. He's from Oklahoma originally. And recorded his first stuff for J.J. Cale's label in Tulsa. In fact, J.J. Cale produced his stuff, and he became kind of a big deal in Oklahoma. And then he went to Alaska for a while in Anchorage, and then wound up going to Nashville and doing very well. I think it was Bob Beckham, publisher, well-known, signed him to got him signed to Capitol. And that's where it started for him. But sadly, died. He's been gone a while. I think like since 2011. In any event, happy to play that for Johnny D. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Jimmy P's got another six pack of requests, I'll bet. So what you got for me, Jimmy P? Are you still with us? Oh no, we lost Jimmy P. Oh, that'd be terrible. All right, well, maybe he will call and leave a message. He sometimes does with his six, or email, something of that nature. And in the meantime, we'll welcome James. Yes, sender of zillions of stories, literally. So, James, how are you?
Hello. Yeah. Oh, I'm hanging in here.
Okay. So.
The story that was still a little bit evolving one involves a pregnant teenager who was supposed to go to a doctor to induce labor because apparently she was past due. And from the picture they showed in the let's put it this way, she and her boyfriend had hightailed it someplace in Texas. Maybe, I hope, hasn't gone across the border back into Mexico. But it's a strange little story.
Well, so what's the deal? Why do they? Is she missing? Do they have any idea why she didn't show up at the doctor's? What's happening?
They don't yet, but the only thing they know is that apparently she may have, the boyfriend is the father of the child, apparently,
well,
probably,
right.
But it, the best still being carried, if most likely. And this young lady, at least pre-pregnancy weight was like, she's only like 5'1 and 115 pounds soaking wet.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's kind of like, I'm like thinking, they're kind of playing around with a little bit of dynamite here.
Well, I'll have to find out about it. I'll keep a watch on that. We also have a teenager who decided to murder his landlord over a clash about rent in Queens. Now, what's fascinating to me is, what on earth was he thinking? He hadn't paid rent in about a year.
I would think that being pretty serious trouble for not paying rent.
Well,
for that
that's
okay. Obviously, he being in New York, you would think, okay, you put it to play rent.
Yeah, well, like I say, that's the least of his worries now. All right, hang on a minute. We'll find out what's going on in the news, and that'll be interesting, too, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Tony Orlando, 1961 on Epic. It was Cleveland Dennis who requested that. We'll get to him in a moment, actually. But I looked more at the story about this nine-month pregnant teen. She was apparently supposed to go to the hospital for her induction. They were going to induce labor and do it that way. And she and her husband disappeared. Boyfriend, supposedly the father of the child, but who knows. So this 18-year-old was last seen at her apartment complex on Friday. Her mother is pointing fingers at the boyfriend, saying, well, he's abusive. The boyfriend's mother, however, is saying, my son would never, you know, so it's one of those things. But in the meantime, and the two are living together, by the way. She's 18, he's 22. Matthew Guerra was her, and she was Savannah Soto. In any event, I shouldn't say was, is disappeared. They have not found either of these individuals. So, you know, it's interesting. Again, the boy's mother said, I know my son. He would never do anything to hurt her. And then, of course, others are saying, uh-huh. So bottom line is that it's unexpected, to say the least, because everything was on track for her to go to the hospital and have labor induced. But now, absolutely disappeared. And so they put out a bulletin, you know, at all points, one of those on her. And neighbors, however, said that they heard her screaming for help. And the next morning, she saw her and her boyfriend get into a Cadillac. Meanwhile, the phone of the boy is unavailable, and the car is not in their apartment, and so no one knows what happened to either of them. So at this point, missing in action. So yeah, it does make you wonder, to say the least. So that was one of the stories.
Now, yeah,
James, here's a headline: a doctor beats female patient during surgery. Now, of course, that happened in China, but even so, you know, this is over the top, and the woman is blind in one eye because of it. So that's a horrifying story. We've got a lot of murder. A Phoenix mother arrested for allegedly murdering daughter on New Year's Eve. We've got children murdering parents and all that that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it seems like they're not taking the holidays off from it either.
It makes it worse. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sadly, if emotions are running high beforehand, the holiday is enough to just put it over the top. And, you know, that is kind of a given at this point, sorry to say. But we have husband and wife found dead Christmas Day, murder, suicide. Again, you know, sadly, the holidays induce that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why, yeah, I can understand I hate the holidays thing.
Yeah, right. Well,
yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, I was on a train, okay, it was like Christmas Eve where, okay, somebody was trying to say to some young lady, Merry Christmas, just trying to, okay, and they said, stop talking to me, stop looking at me. It was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, right, right. Well, it's like Bill Cosby said years ago, they put a nut in every car. So now, interestingly, and you know, I hesitate bringing it up because it probably has some political implications, but regardless, here's a 25-year-old mother of four who was living in subsidized housing, and she'd been robbed, and she was afraid for her children, so she had a weapon. Well, sure enough, somebody came in robbing them, trying to enter one of the girls' bedrooms, and she shoots them. Now, she's been cleared of the shooting. Everybody says, you know, authorities say this was a good shoot, you know, not good in the real sense of the word, but a legally acceptable shoot. But the subsidized housing want to throw her out because she had a weapon. Now, there's nothing in her lease that says she couldn't, but they're saying, well, you do, and that's not okay. So here this woman has saved her children, and now she's facing eviction.
Yeah, and apparently she had been, there have been like four previous attempted.
Oh, yeah. Twice in the last 24 hours before it.
Yeah, and she like, apparently had tried to tell them that she was there were some problems, and they just simply like gave her the cold shoulder.
Exactly. So I'm hoping that that something will come to this woman's aid, because I think that you know, if she didn't have that gun and it was the same within twice in 24 hours, who knows what we'd be saying about her children right now. So
we might be saying like one of these other stories, and then of course what would they'd be paying another tune? Oh, we need more. Okay, we need to take more. Let's not say it. Be playing another tune, which won't be good.
Right. Then we have the headline of customer punched in the face, dragged by hair through Manhattan McDonald's. And I'm looking at this, and at first, from that headline, I thought, what'd they do? Pull him out of the out of the car into the drive-through window? No, it was apparently a customer at a McDonald's dragged another customer from the restaurant by his hair, punched him in the face, and police say they suspect it's anti-gay. I suspect it's crazy time. Arrest them no matter what.
It of course, it reminds me, unfortunately, of the times when I remember where the Taco Bell thing, where the guy went, I want my, grabbed the person, went through the drive-thru window.
Yeah, and here we have, by the way, understatement of the year. 5-year-old disemboweled, parents murdered, person of interest said he did something bad. I guess. So that was a horrendous story.
It's like you want to actually ask, did a whole bunch of people take some crazy pills as like they like to say, unfortunately, on the bloodline, which I call the red line, exotic weed,
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. But yes, apparently the 19-year-old who did something bad was the son of one of the victims babysitting his younger brother, and there's no gun involved, using a knife and a kitchen pot, which is dented, by the way, after he beat everybody with it, killed his own father and the boy's mother and the boy, disemboweled the boy. I don't even want to read those details. So as usual, people behaving badly, and it's never a shortage for stories. So thank you.
Okay, there were some good doggy stories around. I tried to throw those in.
I read the bad doggy story of the, it happens every now and then, of the person who was licked by a dog and died.
That was unfortunate. And I said, what can you say? Okay. And then where they found a dog that had been missing for 6 years.
Yes.
He was found him just not too far from where his owner.
You really wish that dog could talk. All right, we'll talk about that next time. Thanks, James. I appreciate it.
Okay, and of course there was a bird that said English.
Well, sort of, yes. All right, thanks.
Take care.
You too.
Okay.
We'll review that. But by the way, the dog licking the individual, there is a germ. It's a bacteria that's fairly benign to dogs, and it is in their saliva, and it's, you know, 99.9999% of the time benign to humans as well. But there's that, you know, one in a zillion, literally one in a multi-million chance that the bacteria is going to take hold. And when it does, it happens fast. And when it happens, you go into sepsis. And, you know, it's horrible. Losing your life is not the worst possibility here, literally. I mean, it's just horrible. But, you know, if you read these stories, understand that these are almost the freak of nature things. They're literally like one in 10 million. Don't not pet your dog. All right. So we'll get to Cleveland Dennis and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Ever had a hot date, one of those can't wait, things go a little too far in the middle of a good night? Have you ever got right in the back seat of your car? I said stand up, have you ever been there? Stand up, identify, stand up, tell us all about it, stand up, testify. Tell your money was gone. A smiling Mona Lisa loaded up your Visa and took a bartender home. I said, stand up, if you ever been there. Stand up, identify. Stand up, tell us all about it. Stand up, testify.
WGN Radio, I'm Roddy James. That's my favorite Mel McDaniel. And 1986, Stand Up. Bergen White did the arrangements on that. Strings, of course. Jerry Kennedy produced it. And Sonny Throckmorton and a couple of the guys wrote it. Yeah, Stand Up. All right, 888-876-5593-8888. Roddy, Cleveland Dennis, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Roddy. I've been listening. I made a trip to New York earlier in, last week.
Uh-huh.
From about Tuesday to Friday. I could talk about that another time because you already had a good call about somebody taking a trip out of the country. But thank you for playing the Marcells' Goodbye to Love. I always liked that. Got that album and all that. But I also appreciate that you played the Tony Orlando song. It was about 2007. Went to see him with his backup for the Christmas show in Aurora, Illinois. But calling about Ian Punnett to say it's so sad because I listen to him from time to time and I always find him fascinating. I think last week you mentioned Garner Ted Armstrong, The World Tomorrow.
Yep.
I remember that triggered my mind. I'm getting better at it in my old age, but he used to be on about 10:30 on Wixie 1260 in Cleveland for a number of years.
Yep, they bought the time.
And it was kind of odd because they played rock and roll music or mid-60s stuff, pop, all day long. And then all of a sudden, you got this guy promoting whatever he was promoting.
Absolutely. Well, there were two things going on with that. One, of course, in the case of Garner Ted, they were paying for the time, and so, of course, the station's going to sell it. You know, I mean, Weiss and Wayne weren't going to turn out that money away. But the other thing is that Top 40 Radio in the 50s and the 60s had a real problem trying to prove to the FCC that they were serving the public interest, convenience, and necessity. So running things like public affairs programming and news programming and all that, that was part of their justification that they were serving community needs. So when you had paid religion, it was kind of a combination. You know, you got money and you could put it down as your public service.
Well, I can say this. I loved listening to Reverend Ike on CKLW out of Detroit during that time.
Right, of course.
All of a sudden, the music stopped, and Reverend Ike was up there preaching, and it was like, wow, what's going on here?
Well, right.
Anyhow.
Right. That was, yeah. That truly was a show. I mean, doubt about it. He was a showman. He's the guy who came up with that slogan, "You can't lose with the stuff I use." It wasn't Frankie Crocker. It was Reverend Ike.
Well, I don't know that fine detail other than I used to listen to him, and some of the discussions you have with the callers just triggers my mind back to another time.
Oh, absolutely. And like many of them, he had his own branch of a religion. In his case, it was the science of living. You know, there used to be a guy in Florida years ago, Roosevelt Franklin, and he had the prosperity hour. And he basically said, if you send a dollar to me, God will send you two. So they all have their little offshoots of what the deal is. So this was Jews. Yeah, the blessing plan. Yeah, send me your money and I'll bless you. And, you know, he didn't actually, unlike Roosevelt Franklin, he didn't actually tell you in monetary terms exactly how much money you'd be getting, but it was implied that send him money and God will send it back to you.
Well, the law of abundance works for me. I want to make a request.
Yes.
If I can. Land of a Thousand Dances. Since you mentioned Chris Kenner, we need to hear his version.
Yes, the original.
The original.
Right.
Yeah.
It's much, I agree, it's much better than even Cannibal and the Headhunters.
Right, right. But right. In my mind, it made him a big hit with me when I go back and listen to his repertoire of records.
And he wrote it, so that was nice because, of course, not only did Cannibal cover it, but Wilson Pickett did, so Chris got some good coin for that.
True, yeah. Wilson Pickett, I think I mentioned this before. He did Hey Jude. I think it's a better version than the Beatles. And when we got married way back when, we named our oldest daughter middle name Jude. Anyhow, that's all I got.
All right. Well, good deal. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye now.
All right. Reverend Ike also is talking about country music. Hank Williams Jr., Mind Your Own Business from 1986. Reverend Ike is on it. And I'm not making that up. It was his only chart single. And so he was an interesting guy, definitely a showman as far as that goes. Oh, there was another story that was in James's stash of hundreds and hundreds, I mean literally hundreds and hundreds, and it was, man hid mom's corpse for years until she was found in a storage unit. Now, what was fascinating to me about this particular story is I believe they missed the point, entirely missed it. And they have all sorts of talk about who the guy in Texas is, a 53-year-old guy from San Antonio, arrested on an unrelated warrant, by the way, since charged with altering, destroying, or concealing a human corpse, according to the affidavit. And so it was that the cops were called to a storage facility on the north side and of San Antonio. And the person who called said, "We found human remains inside of a storage unit." Now, this was not a worker from the storage unit. What it was this storage unit was selling, the storage facility was selling the individual units, you know, the same way a U-Haul store would, where you rent the unit and then you can truck it to wherever you want, or you could buy it or whatever. Well, apparently this guy, through an auction, bought a storage unit, and I guess, I don't know that he wanted the unit, but many people will do that just because they don't know what's inside, and they'll do it at an auction thinking, well, maybe I'll get some good stuff that somebody's left. Well, in this case, what he got was mom, and he was mortified, to say the least. And so a story ensues for paragraph after paragraph that I won't bother to belabor. Nowhere in it does it bother to mention that mom here had undoubtedly been collecting Social Security, and son, who they've now arrested, probably didn't report her death because he was still cashing them checks, or letting them be deposited, as it were. Why should he stop the gravy train? So mom dies, and he admit that he was cooking, his mother was taking a shower, he heard her fall, he found her still breathing on the bathroom floor, and decided not to call 911 because of his own criminal record. God knows what else he did. In any event, he said, well, then she died. So I placed her body inside a hall closet, Now, for more than a year, I guess she remained in the hall closet. So he covered his mother's remains in lye and cleaning products, you know, so to stop the smell, obviously. Eventually, a gnat problem developed. I am not making this up. And so they had to, he got evicted. I guess gnats are not a good thing. And so he obtained a storage unit. The unit himself, he apparently moved it a few times. Eventually, he put his mother's remains in a trash can inside the unit. And they're saying other information is not available. Come on, at least find out if he's cashing the Social Security checks, because you can almost bet that's the story. And I often wonder, yeah, the state of news reporting today. Yeah, let us count the ways. So 888-876-5593. If you want the waning moments here, I promised Mark in Aurora that I would reread the top 10, which is actually a top 11 of the guilty pleasures, and so I'll do that. But I want to first check to make sure that nobody else died that I need to tell you about. But I think, you know, you can get the issue of the Globe yourself and see if there's anybody else you know. Denny Lane, that was the last one. Denny Lane from the Moody Blues, 79, died December 5th in Naples, Florida, lung disease. All right, co-founder of both the Moody Blues and Wings. All right, well, there you have that. Now, here's what we got. These were your guilty pleasures. I don't know how many votes we got, 5 or 6 pages, single-spaced, easily, maybe more. But there was a 6-way tie for number 6, and that's why it's a top 11. With I'm a Believer by the Monkees, Mandy by Barry Manilow, Papa Oomau Mau by the Rivingtons, Simon Says by the 1910 Fruit Gum Company, Song Sung Blue by Neil Diamond, and Sugar Sugar by the Archies. Then there was a 2-way tie for number 4. The Knack doing My Sharona and the Carpenters, We've Only Just Begun. A 2-way tie for number 2. ABBA, Dancing Queen, and John Denver, Take Me Home, Country Roads. And number 1, far and away with a bullet, was Gordon Lightfoot, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And as I said earlier, the only thing I don't understand is why you'd be ashamed of liking My Sharona, for instance. Or, What on Earth is Wrong with Me and Mrs. Jones? A Billy Paul bubbled under with a few others. But that's your list and your votes. And the only other thing I didn't do, someone asked me to read the 12 Days of Christmas letters, Agnes Holstein's letters, and maybe we'll do that tomorrow night. We're on an hour and a half late, so I would say set your clock for 11:30 Central, and I will talk to you then. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Brett for keeping us on the air tonight and for getting me a log. How novel. We thank John for screening your calls, but above all, I thank you for calling. It makes it easier for me to do, and I like easy. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.